in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. It's all about the blood, folks. We are saved by the blood. And I want to preach to you this morning. The choice that Abel made, the choice that Cain made, a choice you must make. To get in by the blood or by the works of your own hands. This morning I'm going to speak to you. Saved by the blood. Father, bless this morning as we go into this message. Father, use me as a vessel of honor today to uplift the name and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, your Son, your only begotten Son. Lord, that as you came into this world to die for the sins of men, you shed the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only way that anyone can be saved. And I pray this morning those that are saved will be encouraged to continue to speak the truth of this message and to proclaim the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only thing that can redeem the souls of men. And for those here that may be without Christ, or those that hear this message over the internet or via CD, that, Lord, they would be encouraged to come to Christ if they don't know Him already, Father. Bless today, Father, as only you can. Give me slowness of speech, clarity of thought, but above all, the filling and the control of the Holy Spirit. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Abel was the blood offering. In verse 4, it says, and Abel he also brought of the first of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Hebrews 9:22 reminds us that without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's by the blood. Abel knew that. Cain's offering was of his own works. It was of his own garden that he grew. He tilled the land. And he brought his own. He was so proud of what he had done. He didn't need to look to the blood. He can do it on his own. And if you look here at verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know, whenever you confront someone with the Scriptures and they have not done right, have you ever watched how their countenance changes? Did you ever go to someone to witness to them with the gospel and they're a good friend of yours or a great co-worker, a family member, and you sit down, you're smiling, and you say, the reason I'm here tonight is because I'd just like to know if you died. Do you know you're going to heaven? And you can watch their countenance change. I've had folks say to me, I've been a member of a church longer than you've been alive. Not too many folks say that anymore. But I've had folks say that. And their countenance changes. Cain was corrected by God. He could not come in without the blood. And Cain, rather than repenting and turning, he got wroth. Angry at God, whom he could not take it out on, so he took it out on his brother Abel, who if we could. The world, when they get angry at God because of His message, they can't get to God. So they afflict God's people. There are countless changes. But they had to come by way of the blood. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, Cain couldn't come along and say, boy, did you see that cabbage I brought? That's the biggest head you ever saw. No, he couldn't do that. You can't boast on yourself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none doeth good, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need the blood. That's the only reason that Christ came into the world. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, God made it all about the blood. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 3. Why were Cain and Abel held accountable? Because they knew. Their mom and their dad had taught them what God had taught them. They knew the truth. They made the choices. Abel chose to believe and go by the blood. Cain chose not to believe and go by his works. If you look in Genesis 3, verse 14, Adam and Eve have now taken the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God warned them not to eat of that fruit of that tree. Instead, to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. They didn't. They sinned. And in verse 14, first God looks at the serpent, the devil who came in the form of a serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust of the earth shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's why snakes crawl today. And I will put enmity, and this is between the devil and the Lord, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is a promise from the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming into this world to die on that cross. On that cross, he put the serpent out of commission. How do you kill a serpent? You can't cut his tail off, he'll keep going. You got to get him behind the head. And when you do that, you bruise your heel, he bruises his head. And the Lord Jesus Christ put the devil out of commission. He won the victory the devil lost at Calvary. And so from the very beginning, God promised that it was going to be about the blood. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow, and thy conception and sorrow shall bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shalt thou bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it that was thou taken, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. You notice God promised Cain, he also had a problem with the ground, being a tiller of the ground, didn't he? When he did that. But then look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. Now I personally believe that those coats of skins came from a lamb. That God taught them to sacrifice a lamb as they looked forward to the Lamb of God that would hang on that cross. That he shed the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God taught them to sacrifice a lamb. Then he gave them the coats for a covering, because when you come by faith in the blood, you're covered with the righteousness of Christ. Amen? The Lamb of God. And I believe that was a lambskin. And I believe Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel what God taught them. Because of your sin, you must bring an offering, a lamb without blemish, and you must sacrifice for the Lord in this manner. Long before the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, they knew about sacrificing. They did it from the very beginning. It was always the blood. It always will be. It's the only thing that can cleanse from sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that he hung on. Therefore, they were accountable to do what God had told them by faith. In faith, they look forward to the cross. In faith, we look back to the cross. It's all about the blood. Redemption from sin can only come from the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Numbers 21. This is why they were accountable. And this will be my main point. This is point number three here. Why were Cain and Abel held accountable? The first point was Abel's offering. Second was Cain's offering. And the third is why they were held accountable. Numbers chapter 21. It's about the blood. Numbers 21. Look at me at verse 4. And they journeyed from the And they journeyed from the Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? People always have been fickle, haven't they? One minute for you, next minute against you. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They weren't happy with the manna that God had given them. They weren't happy that the salvation God had given them. They were complaining. They wanted more. They wanted it their way. And God had enough. And in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." That's what chastisement is supposed to do to us. It's supposed to make us return unto the Lord. When we see how God deals with other folks and their sin, it's to make us wake up and realize, uh-oh, I better turn back. They saw folks, their families, dying, and they turned back. "We have sinned against the Lord, against the praying of the Lord, that He take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he held the serpent of brass, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He put that pole, that was a cross, and that serpent was hanging on that cross, and he held it up. And all those who, instead of trying everything else to survive, would look to that brazen serpent on that cross, God healed. And they lived. That was prophetic, as it pointed, as I said last week, I believe it was, to the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross. In John 3 and verse 15, and you know the verse, but I'm just going to read it to you anyways. That in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross of Calvary, shed His blood, was buried and rose again, that all who by faith look to His death will live. Will live. It's the only way you can be forgiven, is to look to the Lamb of God. Look to the blood that He shed at Calvary. It was not just that He was going to die for the people. It was how He died. The cross was a death that you bled to death. You slowly suffocated, but mostly you bled to death on that cross. It was His shedding of blood. He became the sacrificial lamb. In Matthew 26, it's all about the blood, my friend. You hear me. Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my, the Lord is having the Last Supper with his disciples, the Passover. And in verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That it was the blood that made the difference. Amen? His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse number 7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Redemption always has been, always will be, by the blood. It always has been, it always will be, the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You cannot get away from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed on that cross. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9. And we're going to read quite a bit of this chapter here now. Hebrews chapter 9. Look with me at verse number 1. We're going to read the entire chapter here. And we're going to see how important the blood is. "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. It was made by hands. For the tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table of shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, that was the Ten Commandments. And over the cherubims of the glory, shadow on the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly, because the mercy seat is now in heaven, where the ark is. It's where the blood was applied. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, becoming a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It was his own blood. For the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, again it's the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the remission, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are by the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to go to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often, as a priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For them must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the blood sacrifice. And is appointed to men once to die. But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God made it very clear that all the blood of the Old Testament pointed to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shed in the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's about the blood. Christian, don't ever let anyone talk you out of the blood. You will offend the God of your salvation. It's about the blood. You can keep your finger in Hebrews 10, but go to 1 Peter chapter number 1 right now. I want you to realize what God said about the blood in verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. From Adam and Eve on down,
they looked for when the blood would be shed. From Calvary since to now, we look back to the blood that was shed. They look forward thanking God. We look back thanking God for the blood that was shed. You'll not get to heaven without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing you from your sins. When we put our faith in Christ, we're putting our faith in who He was and what He did. Who He is and what He did. He is God. And He gave His blood on that cross for our sins. Turn back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Look at me at verse 26. Do not take the blood lightly. Do not discard the blood. Do not count it unnecessary. Listen to what God says in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we see the knowledge of the truth, Cain had his own choice. He did it willfully, didn't he? Abel brought the blood sacrifice willingly. Cain brought the fruits of his hands willingly. Right? They both were taught the truth. They both knew better. For if we sin willfully after we see the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you don't come by the way God said of the blood, nothing else can help. But instead, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Cain feared His judgment. If you go on and read in Genesis 4, he said, but if you do this to me, God, anybody sees me is going to kill me and do despite to me. He feared His judgment. That's why he lied to God and said, am I my brother's keeper? He didn't want to confess because he was afraid what would happen. He was trying to cover it up. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now there are three witnesses in heaven that will witness against you or for you. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if you don't come to Christ, they'll witness against you. In verse 29, if they witness against you, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, that means made holy, set apart, he counted wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. If you ignore God's grace, you will not experience God's mercy. You experience His judgment. Verse 30, for we know Him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. When God came looking for Adam and Eve, they hid themselves in the trees. They made fig leaves with their own hands. It didn't work. They feared God because they ate of the tree. When Cain brought the works of his hands, he feared to meet God. And he lied to God. It didn't work for Adam and Eve. It didn't work for him. And it won't work for you if you lie to God. Abel, in faith, by obedience, brought the proper sacrifice. And God was pleased. Abel's blood spoke to God even from the ground because God was pleased. In fact, in Hebrews 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, it speaketh better things than that of Abel. Seeing they refused not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. What does fire do? It does two things. It signifies judgment,
But fire also purifies the Christian. When you see the gold, silver, and precious stones and the wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians 3, the wood, hay, and stubble are burned up. The gold, silver, and precious stones come out of the fire even more pure, and we cast them at His feet. We give them to God in our crowns. In Revelation 4, I believe, we do that. It's purifying the Christian. But those who won't come by way of the blood, the fire of hell is judgment for all eternity. It's only by way of the blood. There is no other way. If you think you're going to heaven this morning because you belong to this church, or you follow this church, you're no better than Cain. If you think you're going to heaven because you're baptized, you're no better than Cain. If you think you're going to heaven because you serve God and you do things and you give your offerings, you're no better than Cain. You're trying to earn salvation and you can't do it. Once you're saved, you serve God because you are saved. But you don't do those things to get saved. It's by faith in the blood. There are Abels and Cains all throughout this world still today, and even here this morning. Those that will choose to believe God and come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of the blood, and those who will cling to something else thinking it's okay. Adam and Eve's fig leaves didn't work. Cain's fruit didn't work. Only the blood. Only the blood. God this morning to us and to the entire world offers His forgiveness. That is more than generous. He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to come die for us. He could have let us perish because of our own choices, our own wickedness. But He offers forgiveness if we will just come by way of the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 4. God offered Cain the chance still to turn. He has brought the fruit of his hands. He has got angry. His countenance has fallen. But God still loves Cain. The world is resisting God. The world is fighting against God. But God loves them and died for them. And He says to them, if you will just turn, you will not burn. If you will just believe in My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put your faith in His blood, I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I will pardon you. I will redeem you. Every single sin will be forgiven. In verse 5 here, but to Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He says this, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Cain, here's your chance. You can still turn and make the right choice. You can still come by way of the blood. There's still time to get in. This is your day of salvation. Do not pass it by, Cain. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Cain chose to get angry, to blame Abel, and to take it out on Abel because he couldn't get to God. He feared God. He didn't fear Abel. He should have, because he was held accountable. But God gave him that chance. And even when he slew his brother, the Lord said unto Cain in verse 9, where is Abel thy brother? Again, a chance for Cain to say, I messed up. I really messed up. I believe God still, even then, would have forgiven him if it had come by way of the blood. Am I my brother's keeper? How often am I going to get blamed? Why can't I do it my way? It didn't work. Cain paid the price. In verse 11, and now thou art cursed from the earth. My friend, every man, woman, boy, and girl that leaves this world without putting their faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cursed forever in hell in the lake of fire. There, while they are burning for all eternity, they will remember every opportunity that they could have turned. If you could open up this morning and look into hell and see Cain there, you'd see him begging and pleading.
He'll bring the blood sacrifice now. He'll do what's right. He wants to be accepted now. He knows he was wrong for killing Abel. He knows he was wrong. He wants to do it now, but it's too late.
Go thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away.
Romans 14:12. So in every one of us should give account of himself unto God.
Hebrews 9:27 is appointed man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. If you leave this world without coming and putting your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, as the only one that can take away your sins, if you leave here like that, this may be your last chance.
And if it is, God's calling you right now still to come. And if you don't do it, this time tomorrow you could be cursed forever. Please, don't leave here if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven.
If you have not put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in anything else, please come today. God says to you, if you'll just come, if you'll just do well, thou shalt be accepted. But if not, sin lieth at thy door. What will you do with the blood?
Romans 5:8, God did it all. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
There's nothing you can do to undo your sin, so he did it for you. You simply come by faith, believing it, that on that cross he shed his blood for you. He can change your life. When he forgives you, he makes you a new creature.
Romans 10 reminds us of how simple faith is.
Romans 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You simply believe in your heart that he shed his blood for you, for your sins, for your wickedness, for the wrong you've done. You know you're wrong. You know you defended God. You know you deserve hell. And you believe he shed his blood because he loves you that much. For God so the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you come believing that God did this for you. And you come not trusting in your church or in your family or in a baptismal pool or in your offerings. You come trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood they shed on Calvary. And you come believing and confessing. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you hear me. God does not and God cannot lie. If you come by way of the Son, by way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll become his child. Heaven will be your home. If you've already done that, you hold that blood precious. Never let anybody in your presence belittle the blood of Christ. Never let anybody say it's anything else other than the blood that cleanses from sin. Don't let them do it. You'll offend God. It was his Son. It was God in the flesh that hung on that cross, shedding that blood. You proclaim the blood. You make about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stand up for that and remind folks it's not their religious works, their countenance may fall. They may get angry. They may even take action against you. But it's still the truth. It's the only way they can go to heaven. Abel's blood, even though he paid a price for it, still witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even to this day in the Scriptures. Amen? And if it should come to the point where we pay a price for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and shed blood, even after we're gone, our lives will still witness in the lives of those we've reached. It's about the blood. It always has been. It always will be. We are saved by the blood. Are you saved this morning? Do you know if you died today that you would go to heaven? Oh, I trust you do. If you don't, God being so merciful to you, he's extending his grace to you right now. He's saying if you'll come right now, we can take care of it today. Won't you come? In a moment, during the invitation, I'll be down front to meet you. And if you've got a question about salvation, why don't you realize God's calling you? This is accepted of God if you will come today. And why don't you meet me down front? We have counselors with Bibles in hand who will show you how you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ scripturally and be saved. Christian, maybe you want to come to the altar. If God's spoken to your heart, you come to the altar and you pray. Pray for those that are still in their seats. Pray about something in your life that you're dealing with. Pray that God will always help you to stand for the blood. Amen? But if you're here without Christ this morning, won't you come as we begin the invitation? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have spoken your word. May we never forget the price of our salvation with the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the only way any of us can go to heaven is by coming to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and putting our faith in the blood that He shed at that cross to redeem us from our sins. Father, draw the lost this morning and encourage the saving the blood. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.